What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Verzi Effect Podcast Show. My name is Paul Verzi, and you guys are listening to episode 570. We're in the new studio here in New York, so I don't know what that means for episodes as far as in here or not doing Zoom or whatever, but I have another amazing guest here today on the show. This person has been friends with me for probably, I want to say, since 2009 or 10.
Yep, 2009.
2009 or 10. So hilarious. One of my favorites. We actually were on the road together, me, her, and Joe Bartnick for a while. Mm-hmm. We've opened for Bill Burr when I first started working with Bill over however long ago. She was on the show at Town Hall. We were both shitting our pants. And she just recently opened for Louis C.K. at Madison Square Garden, which we talked about before she did that. Ladies and gentlemen, the absolute oh, and by the way, I'm not going to forget on the what is the Netflix thing that you did?
The Degenerates.
The Degenerates on Netflix season one, right? You did or no? Season two, The Degenerates on Netflix, which she was absolutely one of the standouts on that showcase. Adrian Appalucci is here. So great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, of course. I've been asking to get you on. Congratulations on the garden.
Thank you.
And I wanted to talk about that right off the bat because you had texted me and you said, because I had done it a couple times, and the time I did it in 18 in the round was really like one of the sets of my life. And I've said that many times on the show. It meant so much to me. And then I told you, and I knew you were going to kill, and the feedback is that you killed, and Louis actually streamed it, and everybody saw that you killed. But was it what I said, where you just kind of, when you got up there, you just basically, because you're not going to, this thing is, you're not going to change.
No.
That's the thing. People go, what's it like? What are you going to do? And it's like, the only thing you could maybe change is pacing a little bit.
I still think I was exactly, like, the only thing I was concerned about is because it was in the round, I was concerned about, like, moving and like, what do you do? Because everyone's around you, right?
What you mean with the people to your back?
Yeah. So I asked Louis, and because he was streaming, I guess they had these four cameras, and he's like, "Look, most people are going to watch it on the, you know, the camera above you, like the big screen."
Yeah.
So he's like, "Just like, there's a red light here. Do your bit, and then just move to the next one." I just kind of like went in a circle. There were four cameras, and I just rotated each joke. I was like, "This feels weird, but it is what it is."
But then after a couple jokes, you were fine.
I was fine on the first joke. Like, I was just like, okay. It was weird. Yeah. I was so anxious about it because there's no way to prepare for performing for 18,000 people. So, like, I was just anxious. And then we were on the stage kind of for so long just doing a sound check that I kind of got comfortable.
Yeah.
And I didn't look at anyone. Even when I'm on stage in general, I never look at people. I just looked at the cameras and that was it.
So you don't... So, like, if you're at the Stand or the Cellar or just a comedy club, you don't look at the crowd ever?
Sometimes, but usually I'm just looking at the back of the room.
Wow.
Because I almost, okay, I unless somebody's doing something, like sometimes I'll address people, but for the most part, I'm just looking at the back of the room.
Do you remember when we ran out of gas?
Yeah, of course. I tell people that story all the time. And then you were like, why didn't you? You were like mad at me. And I was like, you're driving.
So the backstory is, Adrian, there was a club, because now Boston is like, you either do Laugh Boston or the Wilbur. There's no...
Where were we?
We were
some
doing...
little place.
There was a club called, it was called Motley's.
Yes.
It was called Motley's Comedy. It was downstairs. They transformed the downstairs of this restaurant bar into a comedy club. I will say, the dimensions of it were cool.
Yeah.
It was like low ceilings. It was actually a legit room.
It was
room.
Pretty fun.
So I was doing it, and Adrian was coming out with me. I was like, do you want to do a spot, whatever, because we were working together at the clubs, and I'm trying to find it, and all of a sudden, the car just teeters out, and we just run out of gas right near where the Celtics play, and luckily, we coasted into a gas station, right?
Yeah, there was like some empty gas station that I don't think even existed anymore. It was just like an empty place.
And I looked at Adrian, and I go, why didn't you tell me?
I'm like, you're driving.
I was so flustered because I just coasted in. I go, what happened? I go, you didn't see the gauge? And you were like, no, you're driving.
Yeah, that was really fun. And we got lost a bunch. We kept going through that one area where we were just going back and forth.
What was that one time we did something in like the middle of the woods? Was James Goff with us and he freaked out?
Chris Lamberth, I think.
Chris Lamberth. Shout out to Chris Lamberth, friend of ours. We were in like some... We went somewhere like upstate Catskills or right somewhere.
I think somewhere. I don't remember exactly where, but it was somewhere upstate, I think.
Or was it Connecticut? Or either way, it was very rural.
What was he freaking out about? I don't remember.
Dude, we just were like, it was like a, like for him, it was like a because, you know, he's well, actually, he lives in Jersey, but we're like in the desolate, like we were on like a dirt road and it was just woods and black. And he was in the back and he was like not liking it.
No, and I was just hysterical laughing, and I don't know why.
You know, one of the things you said is, because you said about Chris, you go, Chris, you seem like your parents really loved you.
No, that's right, because he's so well-adjusted in life.
Dude, she nailed it so much that's because so he funny. Is. You just like, looked, and you know, he's such a nice, wholesome, like, kid.
Yeah, and he has, like, his life together.
And you just go, you really seem like your parents loved you. And it was so fucking perfect. And we were crying, laughing, and then we went in the woods. And he was like, where the fuck?
That was so funny.
Yeah, so you are Bronx.
Yep, I am from the Bronx.
Okay, so by the way, if you guys haven't seen Adrienne, like, she's the, like, seriously, like, I'm not even just saying this because she's on the show, and it's going to make her really uncomfortable. Look, she's grabbing, look, she's touching springs.
I don't like
springs.
Any of this stuff.
She's touching springs.
I'm trying to break
she's
stuff.
She's looking around. She's looking at She hopes her mic goes out. She's like, you know what, Paul, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe we shouldn't be doing this. No, she's one of the funniest and one of the best joke writers. So funny. And what I love about your comedy, man, what I always loved, and I remember, I think it was, like, the last time I saw you at the Cellar. It was in the VU at the Cellar, and you were on stage, and this was like right before pandemic, but you kind of just went right for like you didn't give a shit about like woke shit or you didn't care about, like, you knew that you were going to say something. What I love about your comedy is you'll go into something knowing. And I always love bits like this. And I always love, you know, yeah. And I have, like, in this new hour, I had a couple in the last special. This one, new hour, I'm definitely upsetting people and saying things that I just really feel in my heart. And I feel like I've developed the skills to really, like, what it is you say something that you believe in. And then even if you know people aren't going to like it, you believe in it enough where you almost have the argument. Not that they're going to argue, but you have the argument.
Yeah, you're also so likable on stage, though. I don't feel people get really upset with you.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Somebody said to me, my manager was like, you get away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
And
I could see that.
But in this new one, I'm saying some things that are definitely getting people. But you say things.
And I'm not likable.
No. You say things. Well, the thing with you is you just say it and stand in it and look at them. And that's what's so... I actually heard Louis talking about you. I think Louis was talking about you on Rogan when he said it, where he was like, she just says it and she stands in there. Like, you're like a quarterback that, like, the blitz is coming and you just stay in the pocket. You say it. I also love when you upset women because you're a woman. And I know that you do that, but you being, you know, a woman comedian, and they're like, especially, and let's be honest, New York is a very kind of liberal, woke city. And I feel it more everywhere. Like, everywhere I go now, traveling the country, New York, you feel...
Yeah.
I hate to say this. I'm going to say this. I don't know how you feel. I know you travel too. New York, for me, is kind of one of the worst as far as knowing that there's going to be people upset. Because when I travel to, like, I was just in Chicago. Yeah, one woman yelled, hey, fuck you, but, like, jokingly, but they have fun. Texas and Arizona and Florida and other places, even LA, I feel like was a little more. New York, you get the arms crossed and you get
I was at the Stand last week, I think it was, nor the week before. I'm doing well, and this guy just gets up and gets mad and he walks out. He's like, write better jokes or whatever. And I was like, if I was doing bad, which I can do, it would have made more sense. But he said that and walked out.
Yeah.
This tiny little guy.
Yeah.
And then when I got off stage, like, his friends came out after him and they just go, he's gay. And I'm like, so what does that mean?
Well, yeah,
like, everyone's
gay.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know, but I wasn't even talking about gay people.
You know how I know you're still mad about it, though? It's because you said this tiny little guy.
He was tiny. Because it made no sense.
No, but it's funny that's what you held on to. You're like, this tiny little fucking... No, what does that mean? Yeah, that's the other thing.
I don't know.
What does that mean, this guy's gay? So I was in the room that we don't... Let's be honest, we don't love the room upstairs at the Stand. Have you... I mean, the room upstairs.
I don't really do that often, but yes, it's hard. It's a harder room because it's so small.
It's
and
lit up.
It's I think very lit up.
It's one of these rooms. So the Stand in New York City is one of the top showcase clubs. You know, it's great. They have an unbelievable dining room. Then you go downstairs. There's 150 regular showroom. Then upstairs they have like this glass room. They glassed it off. It's like 70 people. Very lit up. And a lot of times I've noticed it's like it seems like it's younger white women. From what I've seen, for some reason, I don't know if they have parties up there, but that's what I've, and that's who kind of doesn't always love me, the 25-year-old Brooklyn woman, right? And I said a joke. I did a joke, and it was about, you know, mental disabilities, and I wanted to see. And I was one of those sets where I was just really loose and having fun with them. And I said, wow, you guys, that went better than I thought. I go, how many people really liked that joke? You know, and I never asked that question, but I was just, because everybody did. And then there was a gay couple that didn't, and then two women that didn't. And they were just sitting in the front. And it's like, that's going to happen in New York.
Sure, yeah.
That's going to happen in New York, I think, more than anywhere. But you were at the Cellar, and you said something. It might have been the R. Kelly shit. It was either,
maybe.
It was either the R. Kelly shit, but you said something that would really make women go, and you just stood in it, and I was just...
I'm so uncomfortable to hear what I said. Are you going to repeat it?
No, it was... No, because I can't... I wouldn't do it. No, because you know why, though? Because I wouldn't do it justice. Not even... First of all, I wouldn't make you feel uncomfortable by telling your joke, but I also... I wouldn't do it justice, but it was basically something along the lines of... I think it was the joke about, like, R. Kelly had hits before that shit came out, or something that you said. Either way, you said something, and I know that there were some women who probably didn't like it, but what I love about you and why I think so many people need to know about you... more people need to know about both of us. This is one of the most underrated comics, but you just say it and stand in it. And it took me so long, because that's also your personality.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
Like, your personality was like, you're going to just say it, and if somebody doesn't like it, you're going to just have to deal with that.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Where my thing on stage and some other people will, I'll see that, and sometimes I'll be like, I can kind of address, like, or if someone says something, you just stay in it. And
I don't know if that's good.
No, I think it's really good. And it took me...
I wasn't loved as a child like Chris.
It took me longer. It took me longer to do that because I think it does stunt comedic growth when you are likable sometimes.
See,
that's the thing
that.
Is like, there are people... Another guy that I think is really was underrated, and I think he lost a lot of time because of SNL, but Pete Davidson, when, you know, people watched Pete and people were like, wow, he kind of reminded me of Chappelle, where he would just say that
Pete's very funny.
Yeah, he was just like this tall, lanky kid, but very quiet and shy, and he would say a joke, and if you look at early, like Chappelle, yeah. I guess, but Pete would just be like this guy and say it and stand there, where somebody like me who had energy, you know, like... I think Bobby Kelly's the same way. Like, Bobby Kelly will be like, what the fuck? Fuck you. And we'll be able to do that, where some people aren't. So before I really started hitting New York City,
yeah,
I was on the road killing. And then I got to New York City and I realized, oh, this is a whole, you got to dig deeper. And that personality shit and presence shit doesn't, you know. And the first time I saw you put it all together was when you did that set at, was it Gotham? Was it Gotham Comedy Live?
Is that where
you had the
maybe?
Biggie shirt?
Yes.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, shit, you, like, everything came together. Like, you're, like, the whole persona and you actually had a little bit of, because when you first came onto the scene, I remember you would just walk up there, like, very shy and quiet.
Yes, that's true.
When you walked into the town hall, remember?
Oh, my God.
Dude, you walked into town hall, like you were a statue. I was so nervous. And then you showed up, and I was like, oh, maybe I got my shit together.
You were like, I'm not as nervous as this girl.
Yeah, that was like, what year was that?
2009. That's when I first met you.
2009. And she walked in with her then boyfriend at the time. And you just were walking in. You're like, yeah, this is my. And you walked in like this and you were like freaked out. And you did great.
But I was so freaked out. I'd never done anything like that before.
That's the thing. Like, when you're a comic and you first get into, like, a big theater, it's like...
There's nothing that you can really compare it to.
Yeah, you're at, like, open mics and bar shows.
Oh, yeah, it's not like I'm doing huge venues.
Yeah, yeah. And then you fucking went on stage and did it. But how long have you been doing it now?
19 years.
Wow.
It's a long time.
19. But you got a lot from the... Did you get a lot from the Netflix thing?
Not really, because we weren't right into the pandemic. So I feel like... Any, like, heat or momentum I had kind of got lost.
Yeah. Mike, you saw Adrian on the scene ever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Evans?
He's always someone that everyone talked about, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like, and I don't want to sound, this is going to sound, I don't want to sound.
Racist?
No. Yeah, imagine I just went to a race rant.
I'm like, well, this is what I'm, this
weird.
Is what I'm here for.
No, I don't, yeah. Listen, I never, and this is one thing that I've talked about on the show, never knock anybody for, even the TikTok and YouTube people.
Sure,
I can't
yeah.
knock somebody for filling up a theater and fucking getting a following during a pandemic or whatever they do online and social media and pay money, pay their bills, and get money because of that. I can't. But then there are people that have put their head down for 20 fucking years, and I put myself in that category and you in that category, that have been just out there killing and stuff. But the nice thing is, and you got to look at it like this, for back in the day, I mean, I haven't opened for Bill Burr in 6 years, and he's just a dear friend.
I'll see if I can open for him.
And I'll hit him up. But to have a guy like that back in the day put me on, and for you to have somebody like Louis kind of put you on and believe in it, that is something that, like, when you do feel down, it's nice to have that.
That's true, yeah. To have people that, like, do root for you.
But that are also great.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's, yeah.
It definitely means a lot.
Yeah. Because,
like, this is a hard business to be in, where you're like, I'm not where I want to be. So you just kind of have those little things where you're like, all right, well, that's a notch under my belt, something that, like, keeps you going. That's the other thing too, like, me and Sarah would talk about as, like, breadcrumbing, where you keep getting little things every couple of years so you don't quit, whereas if you just stop getting stuff, you might have quit and had a normal life.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's better or worse, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, because I know that there's classic stories about, like, Ray Romano had quit, and then he got back into it, and then I guess he did Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did the 6 minutes on Letterman or 5 minutes on Letterman, people were like, wow, that's kind of like a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard he was about to quit again for good. And he was like a
salesman.
He was like a salesman. And he was just like, you know what? Like, I don't think he was doing a lot of road because he had kids.
Young kids.
And, you know, we have the same manager now. So I've heard these stories.
Oh, wow. That's
crazy. And he was like, yeah, like he had kids and a family. So he would, like, do spots in the city, but, like, didn't know what to really do. And he wasn't going to be the guy that was every weekend out on the road. And what was about to quit. And then got that. So I think I'm one of these people. Now, this is actually a funny question for you, because you come across as, no. Here's the thing, though. You do come across as very, I'm not going to say negative, but you come.
I can see that.
No, yeah. But I feel like your negativity is almost a defense mechanism.
Sure.
Right? Because I don't think deep down inside you're fully negative. I think you, it's like a defense mechanism to make sure that, like, to protect yourself from not being hurt. But do you believe in stuff like meant to happen or fate and destiny or shit like that? Or do you think that, like, do you think, like, a guy like Ray Romano, who was going to quit and just leave, and he had his family and he's like, I got to do sales, but did do that thing, and then that thing came at the end, was meant, or no, you're not into shit like that?
I think everything is luck. Like, honestly, like, even coming here, there's, like, 4 spots you can park in New York City right now. And somebody got out as I was pulling up, and that's pure luck. Like, that's, like, almost everything is like that, like luck.
So you look at it as luck instead of, like, a fate meant.
I think, like, a lot of people have talent, and they don't really maybe go as far as they want to. And it's like, well, why does that happen? I think there's a lot of things that come into play. And it's like, yes, you could work really hard and, I guess, create your own audience. But, like, there is a part of it that is luck. Like, that is definitely luck. Where Ray Romano was going to quit, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he could be selling State Farm insurance right now. But he's not.
So, like, if you have a boyfriend and he just, like, goes in to kiss you and he looks in your eyes and goes, I was meant to be with you, you're like, get the fuck out of here.
I don't know. I just think, like, New York City is luck. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think some things are luck and something. Like, I only did The Garden because Keith canceled. Do you know what I mean? Like, so things are kind of luck.
Right. But, and here's the thing about
not
that.
Not everything, but I do think there is a big part of people seeing you at the right time, and it's kind of luck.
I'm going to say this, and I've usually been right with my predictions on the show. I'm going to say this on the show right now. I'm going to say it to you, and I believe it.
Are you transgender?
What you did. Yeah, guys, listen. I'm going to be Paula. I think that what you did with the Garden is going to come back to help you still. I think that streaming thing is not, it was out there for a while. I think people saw it. I think people know how good you are. I think people see how good you could, when people see that, they're like, wow, what's going to be next? And that happens. So,
yeah.
And I don't look at it, and this is just, maybe we just differ. I don't look at it as, oh, you got lucky because Keith thing. I look at it as, like, Keith, you know, didn't do it because, you know, you were supposed to do it. That's how I look at it. And some people will be
maybe,
like,
maybe, I don't know. Like, that's, you're right. I don't know. I think also it's, you know, working hard too. Like, I think both of them have to happen. What is that corny saying about, like, perseverance meeting opportunity or something.
Well, what's his name? Tom Green did the show, and shout out to Tom Green. He said something, but he didn't take credit for it because he said it was actually Larry King's thing, where he said it's a pyramid. There's 3 points. And he said one is talent, one is luck, and one is hard work or something like that. And he said you need to have two to make it. So two things from that have to make it.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I definitely think, listen, I definitely think right place at right time, but you also have to put yourself in that, right?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
You know, like I think people that just sit home and put their feet on the couch and smoke weed all night and judge other comics instead of actually going out and being like, hey, can I get a spot tonight? There's a difference. Better things are going to happen for the latter.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
You know, I never saw you as like a lazy comic or anything like that. But let's talk about how crazy you are. Enough with the comedy talk here. Let's talk how crazy you are about animals. Because you're
really just dogs. No, that's not true. I actually like a lot of animals.
You're an animal lover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're like you.
It's my only redeeming quality, I think.
You have way more affinity for animals than human beings. Is that safe to say?
Mm.
Dogs, especially.
I love dogs.
Yeah, you do. Like that's if you ever want to get Adrian to talk and like really open up, show her a picture of your dog, and it's just like it's like when you show like other women kids, and they're like, yes. Oh my god, how old is he? What school is he? And she's like, you got
a
dog?
But no, I don't care about dogs. But you like animals too.
I do love animals, and I love.
Remember, you said you were going to get a bull. And put it in your backyard?
Well, because there's one.
Your next door neighbor has one?
My neighbor had a bull. My neighbor, so apparently this is the story. My neighbor, they're not there anymore. They divorced.
Who got the bull?
I think she did.
What?
I know. So
how?
Back in a couple years ago, they split up. So backstory is where I live, up on the top of the hill, there was this absolute Tony Montana compound, mansion. And somebody said, oh, you live on the street with the guy with the bull. And I go, what? And they go, your neighbor has a fucking bull. And I go, what do you mean? And they go, no, horns bull. And he's running around the front yard. Now, it's a giant property. And they built steps for people to go with apples and throw this thing. So, of course,
yeah.
I walk the dog up, my kids. And sure enough, there's this black bull. And he's got some like white thing. And he's just like doing bullshit on the...
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah. And then some people are like, oh, it's a statement. Like, you don't fuck with this. I don't know what it was. Nobody knew what the guy did. But I just knew that this guy had... But he did have some beautiful horses, like, up on another level by his pool house. So the guy had money and animals, right? And, like, so we would throw apples at the bull.
A bull is a weird thing to have, though.
Yeah, and, like, it was like the bull was, like, running around, like, hey, guys, like, that's my Labrador, but instead it's a fucking bull.
Yeah.
And we would throw, and then did you see it ever or no? You didn't see
Mm-mm.
it. So I had a little get together and a couple of us walked up, comedians walked up and me and Giannis, all this, we walked up and like, holy shit, there's a bull. And then one day, all the animals are gone. This is after a couple of years, all the animals are gone, no horses and no, they had like goats running around and they had the bull and they go, oh, there's a divorce going on. And they go, and she took the animals on the farm or something, and he left. And then I guess the house ended up selling for, like, whatever. But, he lost the bull in the divorce, I think.
That's so weird.
Yeah, but you would do that, right?
I mean, I don't know if I get a bull.
That's the most gangster fucking animal to have, though, dude.
Where are you living with a bull?
Yeah, it's just,
I guess
you
farm.
You got to be in a farm in a country.
I mean, it's hard to get an apartment with a dog. You gotta have this bull? It's so weird.
You have two dogs? You have two?
I have one dog right now.
Okay, yeah.
Zuzu is with my ex because she's blind and she was having trouble with the stairs in my apartment.
So see, that's how Adrian does it. When the breakup happens, the fucked up dog goes to the other person.
No, I had
she
her.
She fights custody for
I
the dog
her,
who can see.
No. I had her for a couple of years and then she went blind and she was like falling down the stairs and stuff.
Oh shit! That's...
But I saw her the other day. She's doing well.
Yeah, man. I have a cat that's about to be 19, and
it's a nice life.
It's a great life, and I could see that he can see shadows, but I can tell that he's looking for it more.
Yeah.
And the back legs start to go down, and it really does.
It makes you really sad.
The hardest thing in this, I'm really going to bring this podcast down. The hardest thing in life is when you have to take the animal to the thing. And get it done, dude. I was really a wreck with this.
Do you want me to come poison it?
Yeah, sometimes I'm just like, I just want to leave. There should be a service where
it
you don't have to be.
Probably is. They come to your house and they just kill it while you're gone. And then you come back. Do you remember people would do that? Like, I had a girl that lived downstairs from me. And she went on vacation. And then all of a sudden she came back. Her dog was gone. Because, like, they would just give it to someone because they didn't want to take care of it. So they, like, give you a vacation hoping you're going to forget about it when you get home.
Wow.
And then you're just like, no, it's on a farm. That's what everyone says.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Oh, no, it's on a farm being taken care of.
And it's probably not.
When I was a little kid, we had a cat named Samantha who I loved. And my mother, and I was so young, I believed it. I was naive. My mother goes, no, she was bitten by a... my mom made this horrible, I got to send this to my mom. My mom goes, she got bit by a poisonous snake, but it was quick and she just went to sleep.
Why didn't she just say
that? And I'm like, oh, and then like years later,
bizarre thing to make up.
And then,
poisonous snake.
Because I loved it. And she's just like, yeah, it just got bit. It was poisoned, but she just went to sleep peacefully. And for some reason, but the weird thing was it worked. So maybe she knew me.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't
know.
And then like years later, my stepfather's like, no, dude, that thing was like cut in half by a car. Like that. He literally was like, dude, she got hit by a car.
Your stepfather is hilarious. I love him.
Oh, yeah. No, dude, my dude, he did something that really sucked, though. I was 8 years old, and he just goes, just tell him Santa Claus isn't real. Dude, like, and I was traumatized by it because my mom and him were talking. He goes, you got to tell him. It's not. And I was like, eight. The way he did it really bothered me.
Yeah, eight's a pretty young to say Santa's
fake. Fuck yeah, man. Like, you don't just go.
But he could have fucked you.
Unless he was just broke and he didn't want to buy shit.
Well, I would never buy gifts for somebody if they were like my stepkids. I'd be like, that's your thing. That's not my kid. Yeah. Say you date somebody that has kids, right? You guys move in together. And there's like three bedrooms. They both have their own bedrooms. And you don't split the rent half. Like your two kids are in those bedrooms.
That is a tough thing though. That means like my stepfather must have been a good dude because to marry somebody with kids.
Yeah.
To marry somebody with two kids.
And how old were you when they got married or when they started dating?
So probably six, seven, something like that.
Yeah. So he's taking you guys on as a responsibility also.
Yeah, no, that's like, but now I'm thinking about this now, and not that I would ever do this. My wife is going to listen to this and go, what the fuck? You think we're going to be divorced? But if I got divorced to Stacey and I have two kids, and then you meet somebody that has, I don't know if I could do that. I'll be honest with you. I don't know because here's the deal, and I'm just being honest. I will never love other kids the way I love my kids.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to.
Right. There are some really like amazing.
But you have kids. Does your stepfather have kids?
No.
Yeah. So like that's it.
No,
you filled that void.
But I've heard of step parents that are like, no, I took them on as my own. And like, and it's like, that's a different person, dude.
My dad adopted me when I was like very young. So like he did consider me his daughter because he was in my life since I was like one.
Wait, really?
Wait a minute. My biological father and my mother got divorced. Oh my God, you would love this.
Wait a minute. We've known each other for... You're adopted?
Yes, by a nice Asian family. We're gonna go opposite. We're gonna adopt this white chick.
Wait a minute.
So my mom was married before to my biological father, and then they got divorced, and she married my dad, and he adopted me as like his daughter when I was like, I don't know, a baby.
Okay. So now... What's the deal with your biological father? Have you ever reached out?
I mean, that's like such a huge story, but I did meet him. He has like four or five kids that are like my half siblings. But I met him in 2017 and it was so weird. His whole family is jealous of me. Like I wrote to him to have like a relationship with him or something. And he came out to meet me and he's like, nobody knows I'm here. Like it was like he was like we were fucking. It was so weird. He goes, nobody knows I'm here. I hope they don't change the locks when I'm gone. I'm like, what is going on with you? This is insane.
What?
Because she had two kids from a previous marriage and that girl who's like 50 is jealous of me still. So she doesn't want him to be in my life because of that.
Wait a minute.
It's
dude.
So crazy.
Dude, what the fuck just happened? I've known you for this whole time. I think that you're, and I know, and I'm not saying this to be disrespectful because you're the father that raised you had passed, right?
Yes, yes.
So I knew when I knew that happened, I knew that that was hard for you. But your biological father is alive today.
Mm-hmm.
Your biological mother and father are alive today.
My mom is my mom, though. Unfortunately. My mom is my mom.
Can I say something? And we could cut this out if you don't want me to.
Yeah, I don't care.
But we're driving back. This is the best. Oh, the Verzi effect. There's a developing story here. I love this shit. I love this. No. Not this, but the fact what you just told me is crazy. That I didn't know that your biological father, we got to get back into that. But we're driving home from a gig. I think it was the Boston. It might have been Boston after we finally got gas and we got back from the club. And I just, she's in the passenger seat. And you ever drive awkwardly when somebody is in a screaming fight on the phone call?
Oh, that sounds familiar.
So she's in the passenger seat and we're just driving home. And it's like, oh, the gas thing was nuts, huh? And all of a sudden, I just hear, like, fuck you, Deborah. Is it Deborah? I just hear, fuck you, Deborah. I don't fucking need to live with you anymore. I fucking hate you, Deborah. And I
That's so funny. And that is her name, Deborah. Debbie.
Dude, okay, I just heard, literally, I'm driving home. We're on the highway, and I just hear, I'll move out, Deborah. Fuck you. I hate you.
Oh, my God.
And,
that's so funny.
Dude, and I remember being quiet. This just brought it back. I remember, like, being like, okay, when she gets off, I don't know what to say.
I was going to be so upset or something and I need to be consoled.
I think you said something along the lines of, fuck you, Deborah, I'm moving out. I'll get my shit. It was a fight. And then you just hung up.
That's how I grew up, though.
And then you were just like, I remember like you got off the phone and like you kind of bounced right back. You were like, you were like, yeah, it's just my mom, dude. I fucking hate her. And I was just like, all right.
Yeah, but that's how I grew up.
Right. Now you and your mom cool now?
I guess.
Cooler. Okay.
Cooler.
You have a sister.
I do have a sister.
Now, your biological father is her father, too?
No. So she's technically my half-sister.
Okay. So the father that adopted you at one is her father?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And your biological father and you still talk now or no?
No.
No.
We don't talk.
At all. Because the other people in his life don't want him around you.
I mean, his wife wrote me like an 8-page handwritten letter telling me like...
Whoa.
Telling me like how I was ruining their life. It's so crazy.
What?
How, though? I guess because I wanted to be in his life, and she was like, you seem like a nice person. Why don't you get a boyfriend? Like, it was just all of it. Was so crazy.
Holy shit.
And then she also, because his name is Joe, she referred to him, she goes, leave my Joey alone, like very Amy Buttafuoco-ish. It was so weird.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't talk to him because of that. But you know what's more interesting than that? When I went to Europe, I don't know why my friend was reading a book about Hell's Angels. And I was like, oh, my uncle was a Hell's Angel. So I Googled him and I found out that he pushed someone off the top of a building and then... So funny to me.
What?
He pushed someone off the top of the building, and so then later that evening, he tried to like sexually assault two people. I'm like, who kills someone and doesn't call it a night? How insane is that to still go on with the rest of the evening? It's all so insane.
I think probably you know what it was. I think once he threw the person off the building, he was just like, I'm all in. He's like, let's go to the bar.
His side, I guess, is that he was drunk and it was an accident.
Okay.
But I'm just so
he
I
killed the guy. He killed the guy.
It was a woman, I think. I think it was his girlfriend. They got into a fight.
Oh, man. Holy shit.
And I read that. I said to my mom, I'm like, why didn't you ever tell me? And she's like, well, you know, nobody knew what really happened.
That's your uncle.
My mother's brother, yeah.
That's your mother's brother. That's your uncle.
It's my uncle. My dead
and
uncle.
And he died.
He got killed by somebody else in Angel. Another chapter.
You come from a fucking wild, crazy background that I never... See, that's the thing about Adrian. She's so quiet at a club. Like,
how do you think I'm like this, though? This didn't just come from nowhere.
No, but you'll just like show up, hey, how's everything going? And you're just like, yeah. And then you see her on stage and you're like, okay, there's something behind the curtain.
Oh my God, there's so much behind here. So look at this. Look at this picture. I showed it to my friend. They were like, look at this picture. This is my uncle.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh, dude. Oh my God, dude. Is that a...
It's a swastika and he's Jewish. How crazy is that?
Dude, I mean, that's...
I just see this and so I was like, is that a swastika?
It's just a bunch of people in like an old school living room with a swastika like on the... Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They're so open-minded to Jews.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Wait a minute. But you're Italian and Jewish?
My mother's Jewish. So, yeah, he's half, I don't know. I don't know how they were never raised religious.
Your biological father's Italian?
My biological father's Italian, a little Irish and German, but my mother is Hungarian and Italian.
Okay. But a little Jewish?
I guess. I don't know what I am. I guess technically I am, right?
Wow.
Technically, Hitler would have killed me. Maybe.
Holy shit, Adrian, I've known you. I mean, we've never really talked about this stuff because we just know each other through comedy.
I just found out all that stuff like less than a year ago.
Holy shit.
I knew he was a Hell's Angel, but I didn't know all of that other stuff.
Wow. Oh my God, is there anything else that we can unpack?
I think that's it.
Holy shit, dude. I didn't realize that you were...
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, man. That's like, and do you have any intention to like talk to your real dad again and be like, hey, like, do you want to...
When I'm really successful.
I wonder why his kids didn't like you or why
it's
they were...
It's not his kids, it's that one kid because she's technically not his blood daughter, so she feels very protective over him. I'm like, you're 50.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm just a comic who wants to meet my dad. Like, I'm not going to do... What are you going to do? Like, what are they afraid of?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. They're all just so jealous of me. I can't imagine giving me that much power. It's crazy.
It'd be funny if you just fucked with them every time you showed up. You just had a fur coat on and like a camera crew.
I don't even know. I don't know what. Just knock on their door.
You just like show up. You have a camera crew and
That'd
a fur coat.
That'd be hilarious.
Coat.
Maybe somebody, I should do that.
Somebody
I should
just
behind
go
knock
holding
on,
a Netflix sign.
I should
and think
just
it's a
knock on their door. That's amazing. You don't do that.
That is, like it's so weird that people would be protective of that instead of being like, wow, this is kind of a cool story that this is your biological daughter.
I know, but that girl has been jealous of me as a kid and she's still jealous of me at 50. Like she has kids now.
Wow. That's fucking wild.
I know.
And your sister doesn't care because she's not, has nothing to do with it.
No, my sister doesn't care. She has nothing to do with it.
Okay. And your sister's younger than you?
Yeah, she's younger than me.
Okay. Have you been on the road? Have you gone on the road?
A little bit. I'm going to Baltimore this weekend. I've been a little bit. I did South By, which was kind of fun. And I did the Creek in the Cave like a week or two before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have some dates coming up.
Oh, how was the Creek?
It was fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you like Austin?
It's cool. I mean, it's cool for a short amount of time. I couldn't imagine living there.
Yeah.
But it is cool for a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's one of those cities where it's like it really got like the homeless thing. Was it bad?
The homeless, yeah. They're just... It's like New York City. They just come right up to you. They have no fear.
No, and I saw a guy try killing himself in front of everybody. He just
was a homeless guy?
Yeah, he was asking for money. He went down the line, and he goes, fuck it, I got nothing. And a van was going. He just tried jumping in front of it.
I think that's the right way. Like, I think that guy did it right. Like,
well, apparently not, because the guy stopped, and then he was, like, banging on the hood. Come on!
Yeah, you gotta do it at night where people aren't going to stop.
How fucked up is that he jumped in front of a minivan, the minivan stopped, and he was just like, come on, just fucking kill me.
And the guy was
just like, dude, get out of the way. I got somewhere to be.
That's true for that guy. He's like, I don't need this. My insurance is going to spike. I got kids in the car.
Dude, there's buildings everywhere.
Yeah, jump off of something.
So go to the fucking bridge.
There's also
there.
a train over there you could go right in front of. Trains don't stop. Yeah, that is hilarious. Where you're like, there's so many buildings.
I love how matter-of-factly you said that. Yeah, no.
But it's like, I get it. If you're homeless and you can't, like, what are you going to do?
He looked sick and he looked like he was on drugs. It was a fucked up scene, dude. And I was just like, nothing against Austin, because the comedy crowds there are great.
Yeah, they're very fun.
And a lot of people that come out to the shows in Austin aren't from, like, the city. They like, come from different places.
I think South by Southwest audience is not really a comedy audience, though, because it's mostly, like, art and film and stuff, and they're just like going. Somebody explained this to me like that, where they're like, they're coming there for that, and then they're like, oh, I'll go see a show. Where like they don't know what comedy is.
Did you do the Gotham show there?
Like, no.
Did you do for the Mazzillies or no?
No, I saw them though.
All right, what did you do there?
I did like the New York show, and then.
Which was Esther's Follies? No.
I did two shows at Esther's Follies. Yeah. Yeah. One was a New York show. One was another show that was like New York.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one was The Creek in the Cave. And that was, I don't know what the theme
was. Oh, that was part of South By, The Creek one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. I saw Rogan just opened a place there and it's really cool.
You went in there? Yeah, it's really cool.
It's nice inside?
It's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. I think it just opened like a week or two ago, right?
Yeah, I think it opened that Tuesday before or like during South By.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a big. I'm doing the
it's
Vulcan
crazy.
There. Have you the Vulcan gas company?
I never
company.
Did the Vulcan. Yeah.
Yeah, the Vulcan is. It's crazy that like Austin is really becoming. It's one of those places, and I will say this, and I have to say this: Austin is not like New York. What we talked about,
no.
From what I got, you know, yeah. I know that it's definitely a hipstery. There's certain parts of that, but it felt like the people that came out for comedy were like,
yes,
you know, and do you feel this? Because I'm starting to feel this. I noticed it at I noticed it in Chicago a little bit too. I feel that the whole I feel like it's turning.
As like people are don't care about like PC bullshit anymore.
I feel like people are like, I'm at a comedy show. I'm at a comedy show and I'm going to laugh. Listen, there's going to be that gay guy that got up that you said that he was gay. That guy, you're not going to please that guy.
Never.
That guy's not going to.
That guy's not for me but I'm not for him. That's fine.
I don't think that guy's really for comedy. Really,
he
like
might be for like, look, my comedy's not for everybody. Your comedy's not for everybody. There are certain types of, like, he might love Brian Regan. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or so it's like, that guy might just not like what I do, and that's fine.
Yeah. No, I get it. I just feel like there are certain people that, now that I think about it, no, Chicago, I had to kick a woman. A woman got kicked. I said, listen, this is what, you know, like, I went at her, and then she just got up, grabbed her jacket, gave the middle finger. But she never, like you said, she did. It's on camera, too.
She gave you a middle finger?
Yeah, I did a joke about the same joke that I'm doing this joke. I don't want to say the joke because it might be in my new hour, but I'm just doing this joke about how I almost got hit in the parking lot of a grocery store. You know the people that collect the carts?
Mm-hmm.
I almost got hit by one. And he, you know, and he, there was something wrong with him. And mm-hmm. so the joke is really, really funny and everybody loves the joke. But this woman, after I do it, her arms are crossed and Adrian, I'm not joking around. I've never seen daggers like this. For the next three to five minutes, she's just like this. I'm not even joking.
But it's like they give you so much power. Yeah, like that guy that left my show, I'm like, I made you leave a show that everyone else is enjoying.
It's crazy.
It's like insane.
It's crazy. And she's looking at me and I go into the next joke and I'm looking and she doesn't want to smile even when I'm getting laughs with the jokes. And she's just like this. And she's purposely like just I mean, when I'm talking about ice cold grilling me.
Yes.
And she's just like that. And then finally I go, yeah, I was watching the show Love on the Spectrum. And right when I said that, all I said was that. I go, yeah, I saw the show Love on the Spectrum. I go, I love the show. And she goes, no. No. And I go, excuse me? She goes, no. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, you're really disrespectful to people with disabilities. And I go, first of all, you didn't even hear. And I just start going and I was like, listen, this is comedy. And her friends were like, the girl next to her was a big fan of mine and a big fan of my Netflix special. And I could tell that she was really uncomfortable because I think she brought her out.
Right.
To see me.
Because she thinks that she was going to be able to have fun.
Right. And she's like, you got to see this guy. I could tell. And the whole crowd was on my side. People like, then fucking leave. And I go, ma'am. And I just said what I said to her. I go, this is comedy. Okay. Yeah. I'm up here telling jokes. Everybody's enjoying themselves. And I'm not, you know, you're not even listening to the joke, blah, blah. So you could leave or whatever. And she stood up. She grabbed her jacket. Everyone was like, see ya. You know, everyone was on my side.
Yeah, of course.
And then she just kind of walked out with the middle finger up. And then her
I do
friend,
love that she gave you the middle finger.
Yeah. She just gave the middle finger, not looking, just walked away with the middle finger. And then I see her friends and her friends are like conflicted. One of the friends, and this is the best part of the story. This is the best part of the story. I'm actually going to do something on the Verzi effect.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Should I do it? Because then they might get the girl in trouble.
Why?
The other girl. All right. So
just don't mention her name.
Okay, yeah.
Don't mention her name.
Okay, so anyway, the two girls that were with her, one was like, shh, let's enjoy it. The other one was conflicted.
She didn't know what to do.
Should we go out and leave? And I see her texting, and I didn't give her shit for texting because I knew she was texting the person that was outside. I know she was. And I go, you're a fan, aren't you? I stopped the show. I go, you're a fan, aren't you? She goes, yeah. I go, I know. She goes, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. And I go, you know, I go, thank you guys for staying. I appreciate it. I know you. And everybody clapped for them. Then they put it down. Then once time went by, they were in. And then even when I went into a couple of, down the line, there were a couple of edgier ones where I could say things that upset, and they were both in. But one of them wrote to me, and I can't find it because it's so far down because it was weeks ago. But what she wrote was, she said, hey, I was just at your show. That was my friend. I just want to tell you, I can almost remember verbatim. She goes, and she said it three times. She goes, I am so, so, so sorry for how horrible that person behaved. She also always says things that are out of pocket herself. So I can't believe that somebody that says things like that would be like that. We really enjoyed your show. You're so funny. Again, I'm so sorry that you had to deal with it. Like, we'll come again. It was just the nicest thing. And she was just like, I'm sorry you had to deal with that. I can't believe that person was on a high horse like that. And I was just like, yeah, it made me realize that, like, did that person just really look for a problem?
Maybe.
Or did the guy that got up, the tiny little man that got up at your show, was he just going, if anything gets said? Because I feel like if you're the type of person, okay, to walk out of a comedy show.
Yeah.
If you are that type of person, don't you know that there's a chance that could happen when you fucking bought the ticket?
I think he was more upset that people were like on board with it. That's what I think. I think he felt maybe upset that everyone was like on board with it. I don't know. I don't know what those people do. You can. There's enough stuff on almost everybody that you can look up to say, hey, am I going to be offended by any of these comics?
Here's what's going to happen, and this is going to be a nutty thing. Donald Trump is going to run again, and here's what I think. This show never gets political, but I'm going to say this now because I'm in New York and I see how people behave in New York, okay?
You think he's going to win?
Donald Trump, first of all, if Donald Trump gets arrested tomorrow, which yes. they're saying he's going to get arrested yes. tomorrow, not only do I think he's going to win, I think if he gets arrested tomorrow and the public sees him in handcuffs, his rallies will triple. He will fucking, it will be one of, and all the people are saying this. That's why they're having meetings to see if they should even do this. Because if he's going to get relatable that way, because what the charge is he paid hush money to some, you know, to that porn star right. or whatever. That is going to fucking add fuel to his base like you've never seen. And New York is going to freak out. And what's going to happen is that's going to trickle down to, and listen, this is somebody, if you watch my Netflix special, I didn't vote for Trump or Biden. I say it on I voted for Eli Manning. That's true. I did not vote for either one. I'm a registered independent and I did a write-in ballot. But I will tell you this. If Trump gets arrested tomorrow, and a lot of people were saying why, and I'm going, oh my God, that makes all the sense in the world. And even people that don't like him are going, holy shit, he's already gaining steam. If that happens, if that happens, dude, it's gonna fucking build his base big. But what's gonna happen is, you know, what I don't like about politics is for us, for our job,
yeah.
is whatever happens, you know, it calms down for a while. And then I feel like we could say what we want to say on stage.
Yeah.
But then when people in home and in their living rooms and at the dinner table get heated and then they see it in comedy, they turn us into either the
yes.
either the enemy or the ally of what they like and think. And this with another election coming, that's what happens. We have like 2 years of shit that we have to fight. And then all of a sudden, the last 2 years, a year and a half of somebody's presidency, you're like, okay, everybody's kind of accepted what's going on. So let's just talk. And then now, boom, it's going to get ramped up.
Where is Trump? Is he in New York right now? Because that means traffic is going to skyrocket. I hope he's not in New York.
No, what's nice is somebody said, like, don't go in tomorrow. And tomorrow I'm not in. So tomorrow I'll just watch the news. But like, yeah. And the thing is, like, it's going to make people in certain cities, especially certain cities that are more blue, if we go on stage and say anything, it's almost like it'll be I just hate that politics in the real world that has nothing to do with the comedian's jokes or beliefs comes out into what's going to happen.
Yes, that's true.
But I will say this. I do love when grown adults throw themselves on the ground and scream at the sky. Why?
First of all, when Hillary lost and everyone was crying.
Oh, my God.
How hilarious was it watching everyone? Grown people cry on camera.
Grown women screaming at a grown woman screamed at the top of her lungs at the TV. Why? And then gave the finger to the TV. The best was people that were throwing TVs.
It's like it's your own TV.
And the best is that like Hillary had the glass ceiling thing. She rented out the, you know that. That was why she did it. She purposely rented out the Jacob Javits Center because it had a glass ceiling.
Oh, and she was going to break it?
So she was going to break the glass ceiling. And then it was just a bunch of people sitting in there. And then they just watched Trump win. And then they threw themselves on the ground. And they screamed, why, at the sky. It's like, what the fuck? But I love how you, because you, that's what I love you do on Instagram too, or like social media.
Oh, yeah.
Is you fucking, yeah, I love it. I mean, Adrian's worth the follow because you just go right for it. Because you get it.
Sure, I don't care about any
you don't
of these
care
people.
About
these people
us.
Don't care about us either. That's the thing, when all these people are so fucking political, none of them care about us. Trump and the Clintons are fucking friends.
It's crazy. It like the way that we fight over it. And
they're
like,
friends. They're all fucking kids, whatever else they do, and Epstein Island, whatever. They're all
Epstein Island.
None of these people care about us at all.
I agree. I want to be able to go and say whatever the fuck on stage, and it's just not.
Fuck, I didn't realize that was tomorrow.
Yeah, well, apparently he said it.
Trump said it?
He said, I'll be arrested Tuesday. And he said. You know, like dead Mike, is that, can you look that up real quick?
He might be. I do remember saying someone saying
no,
he's gonna get arrested.
He was like, he's gonna be arrested or like indicted Tuesday for apparently they think that they have proof that I guess he paid Stormy Daniels hush money, like not through him or whatever, but like gave her a certain amount of
money.
Why
is that illegal?
I don't know. I don't see. That's the thing. I know nothing. So, guys, if you're gonna like comment on this and go like, yeah, Verzi has no clue about what like is. I don't.
I never have a clue.
Yeah, like I don't know exactly what. All I know is that everybody said Tuesday he's getting. He's even warning he's getting arrested, and then he puts something going.
That's why I gotta pay everything in cash. So there's no fucking.
Don't
traces.
Come to. Listen, I'm glad you. You should be glad you did KFC in this today.
That's true. Fuck.
Tomorrow, you want your dog just watch the news. Mike, is he, what does he say?
It might have something to do with it might have been campaign funds or like around campaign financing that he used that to pay her off. But there's.
But who cares if he?
No, but does he say on there that he'll be arrested tomorrow?
He's predicting it, and then he's also calling for riots. He wants people to protest, but then they're also saying that might cause him to not be able to bond out. So if he gets arrested because he can try to incite a riot, he might just be sitting in jail till his hearing. Hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Oh my God, that would be hilarious. Dude, him in a suit with like inmates. Oh my God.
I bet he's super likable in prison. Everyone in prison would like him because he's crazy.
Yeah, the thing with Trump is I bet you Trump's one of those guys where if you're a friend and he's good to you and there was loyalty early,
yeah,
he's probably the greatest. And then if there was ever like a shitty business thing, or if he ever was like, you were one of the people that knew somebody in a building that he got people evicted, he's probably the meanest piece of shit.
Absolutely.
It's one of those where it's like,
if I'm him, I go to prison, I promise them all jobs when they get out.
Or he'll just be like, dude, I'm going to get you out.
I'm gonna get you out. I'm gonna get all of you pardoned.
And he's just protected. He's just sitting there.
That's right. Guys are working out.
He's just hanging out there. Oh my God, dude! No, can they do that? If he said riot,
protest.
Well, protest is different than riot, though, right?
But it's all speculation.
I don't know. Well, if they call it a peaceful,
right? Peaceful protest.
Did you see that thing that they did on the January 6th thing?
What?
Where they showed some people going, because it's like both. It's like two sides of the story. I think it was Bill Maher. It's like two sides of the story. And it really is like some people are like, it wasn't even violent. There were cops escorting people through, which it is. Like you see people going through the ropes like it's a tour in a museum. But then you see other people
like jumping up.
Like there's like smoke being shot everywhere. People are jumping out of buildings and
shit. I mean,
shit.
You could do that with everything, right? There's two sides to it.
That's exactly right.
Even 9/11, they were just flying and hit a plane by accident.
You know what we didn't talk about? I'd love to get your take on this.
Who knows if I know about it?
What?
Is it something political? I probably don't know about it.
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I was literally just saying that, like I said, this show never gets political. But I think Trump is. I think if people see him get arrested and then he comes back after that and goes to rallies, I think it helps. And
it's kind of like getting shot if you're a rapper.
Yeah, it's like the 50 Cent is going to get this 50 Cent version.
Yeah, your sales are going to skyrocket.
But what did you think about the Chris Rock thing? Did you watch a Chris Rock special?
I did watch a special.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved what he talked about. Well, I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I thought people aren't giving it a good review or a lot of people.
Because of the Will Smith stuff?
No, I think people are just going like, he seemed angry and it didn't seem like, but I thought it was actually like vintage Chris Rock. I thought it was.
Yeah, it reminded me of like.
I thought it reminded me of Bigger and Blacker. What, and, right?
Yeah, exactly. I guess people don't like that though. Nobody likes a black man being, like, upset.
Yeah, I just thought it was, like, Chris Rock, the way that Chris Rock got to where he got.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny, to be honest. Like, people were like, well, I don't think he should have called her a bitch. I'm like, she's acting like a bitch.
That was in his heart for a long time, man. Like, to sit on that for a year?
Absolutely. Well, also, if you're Will Smith, what did you think was going to happen? He didn't take any repercussions against him. He didn't, like, he could have charged him with assault. Like, he didn't say anything to him. Where did you think it was going to come out? He's
right.
A comic.
That's exactly right.
You had to know that was going to happen at some place.
And there's got to be a point in Chris Rock's life where he was laying in bed alone thinking about that and just going, like, I got kind of humiliated in front of the world. Like,
yeah,
I got smacked in the face by literally one of the biggest iconic blockbuster movie stars in front of the world at the Oscars, and I'm kind
of
living in that. And
yeah,
that's gotta fucking, dude, that, like, when he said that, when he goes, people ask, did it hurt? And he goes, it still hurts. That's like, that's a fucking,
that's real.
That's
yeah.
a real, you could tell, like, when he talked about her, and he goes, what the fuck? And then another thing you could tell is when he goes, I loved Will Smith. That's the thing.
Everyone loved Will Smith.
Where I felt like where I felt he was really hurt was when he's like, I saw him at the Nassau Coliseum open for Run DMC, you know, and like, and he's like, I loved him. I rooted for him. So you could kind of see that,
sure.
Like, what I liked about it was the pain came out.
Mm-hmm.
The pain came out.
It was also really funny.
He did it funny and he got it out.
And like where he said, you know, he's much bigger than me. Like, he played Muhammad Ali. I didn't go up for that role.
Yeah, he said, I played Pookie. He said, he played Muhammad Ali. He said, I played Pookie in New Jack City. And, like, what I liked about it is, for me, comedy is always, like, if you could make a tragedy or something that really is painful, funny.
Yeah.
You talk about somebody that you loved that might have passed or something, and you find a joke about it, you know? I had something. I'm going to tell you this because I think that this is something. I might even say it on stage, but I'll tell you this because you're the perfect guest to do this. So, when David Kimmoetz got murdered,
yes,
okay, which was
finally,
which was
finally
the one
we're
that,
talking about it,
which is the one that really really hurt me.
Of course,
it hurt me very very much. As far as look, we've definitely lost some people, and there's definitely been some people that, you know, through my comedy career, you hear of that are great comics that have passed or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
And you definitely go, fuck. And if you knew somebody or you passed by them a couple times and said, hey, great set or whatever, you see them on the road and it hurts and it sucks. The David one was the one that I can see where that happens to people and they go into a really fucked up place.
Of course.
And for the people that don't know, David was Kimmoetz is a part owner of the Stand Comedy Club, and he was
he's our manager.
He's my manager for 4.5 years, Adrian's manager for a while. And for whatever reason, it didn't work out, and he didn't take it great. As a matter of fact, my other manager, Chris Italia, he took it kind of better, which I didn't think would be the thing. And David was a little bit hurt, but I was lucky that David and I got to, after about a year or two, we mended that, and we healed it, and it was good, and we talked. And I'm so glad we got to talk before it happened. So it happened, and David was what happened to David and his nanny was one of the most horrible things. And I didn't want to be on stage for 7 days. I was sick, and I'd be in the car and I would just like think about his girls and his family, and it really really bugged me, right? And I'm going, nothing is funny about this, nothing is funny about this, until something was. I go to New York Comedy Club and I'm like 7 days without doing a show, right? And I'm just like, guy goes, hey, dude, do you want to, you know, Joe Garrick's, you know who that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he runs the Fairfield Room up there and stuff. And he was doing his show at New York Comedy Club. And he just goes, hey, Verzi, dude, if you want to, you know, I'd love for you to do like 6-7 minutes on the show. And I go, oh, yeah, man, I haven't been up, but I'll do it, you know. And he goes, well, what's going on? And this is where the first funny thing happens, where I go, yeah, man, my old manager and friend, him and his nanny were, you know, stabbed to death and killed in his house. And he just goes, been there. And I go,
that is really funny.
And I go, what? Dude, the way he did it, like he did it like this shit. He goes, been there. And
that's such a funny response.
How funny. I'm going to do a bit about it. So if that's you hear really it on the funny. Show, you hear me do it, I'm going to do it, I think. But, and he just goes, yeah. He goes, my family, my best friend's parents were killed. And there's something like similar.
Oh,
like
wow. I thought he was being like sarcastic.
No. No,
that's so crazy.
No, he wasn't being sarcastic. He just goes, like, so when he, because he felt bad for me, and he saw that I was hurting, and I was like, yeah, I haven't been up in 7 days. I'll go up and do 6 minutes. I appreciate it. And I told him a story. He just goes, been there. And I was like, and at first I was like, is he fucking me? He's like, no, my friend's parents were killed or something like that.
Oh, wow, that's
and in
crazy.
My mind, I'm just going, like, at first I'm like, is he trying to one-up my,
yeah, that's
are you trying
crazy.
To one-up my horrible, like, tragedy with a friend of mine? And then I'm like, how often does this shit happen?
You guys are the only two people.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It let me realize that comedy can be anywhere. And something that happened with me that kind of people go, wow, it makes sense that you're a comedian. At my grandfather's wake, rest his soul, I was like, my grandfather died in the 80s and he was 66 years old. He was the
That's
best.
Pretty young.
He was the best. Yeah, he went, he had heart issues from the an accident that he had. He had an accident with a truck and it screwed up his heart. But at his wake, I was like standing in the back room where people sit and like I was standing on a chair making jokes and making adults laugh, and I was doing that and I loved him, and I realized that that's how I dealt with it. So like I changed the mood. So like when that guy said that, it almost put me at ease.
Of course.
In a
yeah.
way. Do you know what I mean? And it's just funny how like I feel like it's all full circle, because I feel like your comedy is so brilliantly a lot of that. I
could see that.
You know, I think your comedy is like you find things like that, and I think that's why, you know, people should go out and see you. Where can people go out and see you? Like, what do you got coming up?
I'm doing the road a bit, so just go on my website, adrianappalucci.com, and look up the dates. Otherwise, I'm in New York City a lot.
Are you opening for anybody, or it's
just me headlining.
Nice. Nice. Where are you going next? Oh,
I'm doing The Port. I think it's called The Port in Baltimore this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that room.
Yeah. And then I'm doing a bunch of stuff in April. So people say really good stuff about it. I've never been there before.
Yeah, no, I heard about that place, and I heard it was good. We got to spell your last name.
I know. It's terrible.
Can you spell it?
No. Imagine, I was like, I don't know how to spell it.
I look at your last. I've so many tried to spell it so many times.
IAPALUCCI. If you put Adrian and then comic.
If you put like comedian Adrian and you see a long Italian name that starts with an I.
An I.
Then, you know, that's definitely her. But go to her dates for sure, because there's no surprise why somebody like Louis has her open and how good she is. And I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of Adrian. We're going to do this again, because I feel like we're just unpacking. I can't even believe your whole background.
My whole family is so crazy.
I can't even believe
it. That does make sense why I am the way I am.
But are you just like, we're on a podcast and you're just like, yeah, so my adopted father's family's jealous of me and my uncle threw somebody off a building and sexually assaulted somebody, which I just found out last week.
No,
but
he attempted to sexually assault someone. He didn't succeed.
How do you attempt sexual assault?
You know.
Guys, I'm gonna be next week, not this weekend, but next weekend, which is March 30th through April 1st. I will be doing the Comedy Connection in Providence, Rhode Island. Then I'm going to be at one of my favorite comedy clubs, April 14th and 15th. I'm gonna be at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City. Truly one of my favorite. I actually thought about doing a special there. That's how amazing the room is. Every time I'm out there, I love it. It's a beautiful city. And then the next night, April 16th, I'm doing a one-nighter at the Comedy Works in Denver. I also have Austin, Texas coming up after that. I have Charlotte, Raleigh, and Tampa, and we're adding more. And Atlanta just got added in June. Go to paulverzi.com for all of those dates. Please continue to check out the special Nocturnal Emissions on Netflix, which just had another surge. So thank you for that. And please rate and review The Verzi Effect everywhere you get your podcasts. iTunes, Spotify. Thank you for being on the show. Hope you had
Thanks
fun.
For having
I know
me.
You've been running
I always
around
have
the
fun
city.
With you.
Yeah, no, so funny,
Old
so
buddies.
Great. Stay out of the city tomorrow.
Jesus, man.
We'll watch Trump get cuffed up. It's going to be wild. Mikey, thank you so much. Want to thank Andrew Themlis, producer out there. Shout out to All Things Comedy. Andrew Themlis, the Greek freak out there in Beverly Hills. All right, guys, this has been the show. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you.